The world is a beautiful place. The world is a scary place. The world is full of unlimited possibilities. The world is full of dead ends. The world is a loving place. The world is a dangerous place. The world is forever changing, forever evolving. The world is crumbling. It is imploding. The world you see is the world you get. We decide which world we want to live in. I've lived in both of them. I much prefer residing in the loving. It never stops giving. It's boundless. We can wallow in our nightmares or we can embrace our dreams. Mine was my back pocket for a very, very long time. It's out now. What's your dream? For you, for us, for the planet. Let's talk about them. I'm Rick Quinn. Welcome to Back Pocket Dream.
Hello, everybody. I'm Rick Quinn, and thank you for tuning in today to Back Pocket Dream. For those of you who have joined us on previous podcasts, you're going to be very happy to hear who's back with us today. It's the inspirational and engaging Gary Ramsey, author of Bliss, One Hero's Journey. His book is about his experience with cancer, having been told quite a few years ago he could die at any moment. That obviously didn't happen. During his life, Gary has been an actor, opera singer, vocal coach, and Alexander Technique teacher. However, he considers himself as most importantly an eternal student of the universe, of which you'll soon see why. If you haven't had a chance to listen to my two previous podcasts with Gary, I highly recommend you do so. Because today, we will be moving on to the next chapter in Gary's life. So I imagine parts of his book may pop up along the way. Gary's cancer returned this past fall in a different form. Gary does not see this as a bad thing, nor does he want you to see it that way either. Let's say hello to Gary and hear exactly why. Hello, Gary.
Hello, Rick. How are you?
I'm marvelous, as my grandfather would say. Marvelous. How are you?
Marvelous. That's great. That's great. I am too, as a matter of fact.
Good. He lived to be 103, so I think if it worked for him, it works for me. my father used to kid that his first 100 years went very well. The second 100, not so well.
Not so well.
So, I guess let's start off. As I said in the intro, you had cancer before. It's gone.
Yep.
Let's start off saying, I think it was was it October that the cancer returned?
That's correct.
All right, tell us what happened there.
Really, I was, you know, just living life. We were back at where I teach. I was walking to work, and all of a sudden, I didn't know where I was going. And then I thought, well, wait a minute, what am I doing? And then I thought, wait a minute, who am I? So it was kind of like all of a sudden everything disappeared. And I had this incredible, once again, just this moment of like, wow. I was in total awe. And I thought, here I am, and I don't know what's going on. And then I just knew this is not what should be happening. And I realized there was something in my pocket that would explain everything. So I reached in my pocket, pulled out the iPhone, and I had no idea what it was. I was like, what is this?
you're on the street, you said.
And I'm on the street. I just stopped. I was stuck on the sidewalk as I was going to the train, although I didn't even know I was going to the train.
You're right at your home? Do you know where you live?
I didn't know where I lived. Were you
near your home? Were you near your own house?
Well, I was about 20 minutes away.
Oh, okay.
Because I had been walking from there to the train. So all of a sudden the phone, I pressed the button and a name came up, which was my neighbor's. And as soon as it came up, I knew exactly who she was. That's what was weird about this. As soon as it registered, then it would come back online. It was almost like the information was locked until something stirred it. So I got on the phone with her, and I said, I don't know what's going on. And she said, well, where are you? I said, I don't know. She said, well, where are you going? I don't know. And so then she knew something was wrong, and she asked me to identify something, which I finally did. And she came to pick me up, and drove me straight to the hospital. And that's when they found out my brain was swelling, abnormally swelling, and the entire left side of the brain had pushed over to the right side, which is why I was losing, you know, all kinds of memory and ability, coordination. And then, you know, as they examined, it became clear that I, you know, had a brain mass in the my head, which wasn't very large, but for some reason that swelling occurred, which is not usual because people with brain cancer generally don't know until it's too late. And then they said I have stage 4 metastatic renal cell carcinoma. That's how it was said in the hospital, which is a terminal diagnosis. And they gave me 6 to 12 months to live. And that happened within the next 3 days, all of that, from the day I walked into the hospital. And it was, again, like, oh, boy, I've been through this before. So, of course, when they told me I wasn't jumping to anything. And then I called the exact same clinic that saved me the last time in Mexico and started talking to them. And they told me, just get the records, get all the information, make sure you understand what they're telling you, because they knew my brain was a little wonky. And that was how the whole thing started. That was
So this time was a little unlike the first time, where the first time you went to several various institutions or hospitals in the United States, and they all said that there really wasn't much hope for you.
Right. Even I told my diagnosing doctor, and he's the one who had checked with other people, and they said, he's a dead man. There's no way they're going to be able to remove this. That was
right.
The first cancer. And this one, at least I got 6 to 12 months. The last one, they said you could die any minute.
Right.
So I'm doing better with each one.
Right.
I'm doing better.
Well, that's good. It's always joyful to talk to you. It's funny because that's what the first podcast I had with you, we talked about your book. One of my friends listened to it. And his comment, he said, I never heard two guys have so much fun talking about death.
Right? It's true. And let's face it, who on the planet is not going to die? That's like a no-brainer.
Right.
Excuse
no
the pun.
No pun intended.
No pun intended. But it's fascinating to me because I have no fear once again. I'm totally fearless about this. And again, the worst that's going to happen is I'm going to die. And it's like, well, that's going to happen one day anyway. So there's no sense in being afraid of that.
That's what's amazing about you and has gravitated me, you know, to watching you do Instagram Lives and Facebook Lives, and I've been following you ever since we first spoke. And you really inspired me, as you have a lot of people. And you hear people, you know, try to suck it up and say, I have no regrets, there's nothing to be sad about when they're ill. But the genuineness really in their heart isn't totally there. But I know with you, it's totally there. You really mean you're not sad. There's nothing to be unhappy about. Life is great. You're a blissful, happy man.
Exactly. And I really do owe that to the first cancer, because the first cancer I just surrendered, and that's what happened with this cancer.
You had that mindset though going into that one. You kind of had prepared your life that way. You were in a pretty good state when you had the first cancer too.
Yes, that's true. I mean, my life is going very well, and I've been doing these kind of practices all along with meditations and investigating people who've had, you know, miraculous or unusual experiences, like Anita Morjani, which is how we met in the first place. So I was up on all of that.
Yeah, you and I met.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not realizing until later we actually had met that, you know, briefly at the end of that conference.
That conference. That's right. Yes. Yes.
You know, You know, it's something I realized too, listening to a lot of, you know, if I follow all the different people that are very inspirational and you hear different stories. And the thing I keep coming back to is you can't compare anybody's story to another person.
No, you cannot.
And when you do get in trouble. Because, you know, like Anita's story, it's a beautiful, beautiful story. And it's her story and her journey and inspired many others. But she will say, you know, in a book and over and over again that she believes that the reason she got cancer was her own fear.
Uh-huh.
Correct?
Mm-hmm. She always says that, yes.
Yes. Okay, so then you first think, okay, keep away from fear so I don't get cancer. Well, that was her journey. So I look at you, now fear has nothing to do with your cancer.
No. Right? You know, and I've been thinking about that. I realize, though, the second journey since I've gotten this, I have actually inspired and really brought more people to a new place. I mean, I'm getting cards and letters and emails and all kinds of things all the time, and people just saying, I can't tell you how much it is. Also, I'm letting people in on this journey, which my first journey I kept more quiet. Because I knew I was going to die. So I was making plans for death, you know. And I wasn't going to write everybody and go, oh, by the way, I'm dying.
But you didn't have the exposure you do now either. You didn't have the platform.
And I didn't have the exposure, right. I hadn't written the book. Nothing had occurred, you know.
No. I mean, you're almost a celebrity now. You weren't a celebrity then. You're a pseudo celebrity. celebrity.
I'm the angel of death celebrity.
And I love you. We all love you.
Thank you. So it's been a very different journey in that regard. And for some reason, it almost feels like the universe wanted me to go through this again. And now it's just on a little bit of a broader scale. And again, I'm already 6 months. I'm over 6 months through my 6 to 12 month terminal diagnosis. I feel great.
Yep.
I feel great, which shouldn't be happening.
Right.
As a matter of fact, I could have died by now.
Now, have you been operated on?
No. I did though. I went back to Mexico and they did radiate me for the brain cancer.
They did what? I'm sorry, you dropped out. They did
what?
Oh, that's
okay. I had radiation for the brain cancer. Which was targeted radiation in my head, but it was only 5 treatments, 5 radiations. And just so you know, when people have cancer in the States, I had stage 4 and only had 5. I've had friends who had stage 1 for breast cancer and had 32 radiations.
Right.
So Mexico's not big at over radiating. And so far, everything's going very well. I've got all my facilities back, not 100%, but pretty high. Like when I first got, you know, this diagnosis, and also the brain was still swollen. I couldn't be speaking to you right now like this.
How long did you not know, when you first had discovered you know who you were and you called your friend, how long did that experience last?
That was pretty much once I talked to her and grounded and she called me Gary, then all of that came back. And it was kind of like all the files in my brain were shut. And then all of a sudden things would just open as soon as I would hear it or see it. And then I'd think, oh yeah, I know that. Of course. I know that, you know, but in the moment when the whole thing hit, I knew nothing. I couldn't even, I was holding a sweater and I thought, what is that? Like, and then I'm opening it up and I go, what do you do with this?
And you weren't alarmed at the time. You weren't like fretful.
No. Again, I was
Why do you think you felt peaceful?
I think because it's what I've been practicing all along. So I think my brain hung on to that there's nothing to be alarmed about. There's nothing to be upset about. And And it was, I got to tell you, very beautiful, because it was kind of like walking around my I imagine if I were a ghost and just walking around with no attachments. That's really what it was like. It was just beautiful. And the only thing was, is I thought, no, this shouldn't be. I knew that, which is why I pulled the phone out. This shouldn't be, but I didn't know how to get back to anything until I called her.
Well, that's what I've been thinking all along, watching you and everything else and thinking about you, that you was, I don't know if I use the word disconnected, but you weren't as tied into this three-dimensional world as a lot of us are.
Right.
That you're kind of flirting with those other dimensions, so you were kind of already maybe perhaps closer to your essence. So the proverbial question, who am I, really is all that's important to you.
Exactly.
Your name is important. You know who you were.
Yeah. And right? It's the famous question, like all the Buddhists and all the, you know, high masters, that's the one they ask. Well, who are you? Who am I?
Yeah. Right.
So it was a beautiful, actually, experience until I got to the hospital, and then reality and things started coming back to me. And then I remember I had this feeling in my head that wasn't like a headache, but it was like overwhelm. Like it was just overwhelming my brain.
You think it was the energy around you? All the energy of the chaos going on?
I do. Because when I found out that the left side had been pushed into the right side, I thought, you know, I bet I was having a kind of heightened spiritual experience, because the right side is this, you know, that more spiritually creative side.
Right.
The left side is linear. And linear, I think that's why I didn't know what the sweater was, didn't know how to put it on. I was completely kind of devoid of that left brain side. And
that is a rare
thing, that
the left side pushes into the right side? Is that a rare thing?
Well, they were shocked by the amount of swelling I had, because they said generally with brain cancer, the brain doesn't show any symptoms. It's usually like all of a sudden the person can't walk or the leg goes numb. And they said, and usually by then the brain cancer is very advanced. They said, that swelling, really, in a sense, you wouldn't have known had it not swelled. So that was kind of my blessing, you know.
Yeah.
And the mass is not that big, not that big. And again, I only had 5 radiations. It's really not big. But metastatic, meaning that it has spread, they found it in my lung, and that's not very large either. They couldn't do anything with the kidneys because I had the one removed. So they left those alone. I told them, no. So, and then they just classified it as stage 4 metastatic.
Are they saying it's related to the original cancer or a whole different creation, a whole different form?
They're saying it's related to the original cancer. Mexico is kind of quiet, and they always say, well, we'll see. That's kind of where I'm at with it.
And is your sister going with you again to Mexico this time?
She went with me the last time. She went with them because there I was bad. And that's where the coordinations were still not good. I couldn't remember things. I would lose things constantly. And that was still from the swelling of the brain and also, you know, the cancer, the mass itself. And this time, though, I'm really pretty capable. She will come out for a few days, but I really don't need assistance. I've been living on my own, really, for the last 6 months, and she only stayed for the first month until we went to Mexico.
So you're not working right now, are you?
No, because I didn't know this. When you have a terminal diagnosis, you can immediately be put on disability.
Okay.
And at the time I thought, well, I better, because again, at the time I was very bad. I couldn't have taught.
Right.
So I had to take the disability And now I'm kind of stuck, and I'm going to stay on the disability because I'm still classified as having the cancer.
What about your Alexander Technique teaching? Can you still do that for people?
Yes, there's people I teach online and in person. You know, it's just not a heavy schedule.
Yeah. But you're not not tired or worn out, or you don't feel...
No, certain days I am, but by and large, I feel pretty good. I really don't, you know, I am on, but again, with radiation, you know, that does throw you off. That took a while to get over. As a matter of fact, I think I had the radiation in late November and early December, and I didn't really start feeling like back on until like beginning of March. That's where things started getting better and better.
Really? Was that long?
Yeah.
It took a while. You have headaches?
No. Oddly enough, that's the one symptom I didn't have. But my brain would get overwhelmed, but not with headache. Just I would have to stop doing whatever I was doing.
Are the doctors surprised by that? That you're not having headaches?
Yes, everybody's surprised by that.
Are you surprised people, Gary?
Yes, I do. And even the swelling surprised everybody. They were like, we really don't see this that often unless it's a brain injury. You know, they said with brain injuries, you see it all the time. But
so maybe I missed it. What are they going to do this time in Mexico? What are they going to do? What's the plan?
Well, we already were there for 3 weeks through that late before Thanksgiving and to the first week in December. And then now we're going to go back. They're going to check everything out. They're very happy with what's going on in the brain. And now they're going to really concentrate more on the lungs.
Oh.
And we're going to see if they can find any other cancer anyplace else. Because supposedly it's spread, but I don't know to what. Nobody has found where it's spreading.
Okay.
So there you go. And that's really what metastatic is. It's spreading throughout the body. But again, I have no symptoms of it in my bones or other organs, or at least it's not showing. So that was what I decided to do then, just to stop working, concentrate on me and not on that. Because, you know, the teaching takes a lot out. And now I can kind of control it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Although I haven't gotten a disability check yet. I'm supposed to get one in May. So we'll see how that goes. So from October, and I was approved immediately. But I still haven't gotten a check yet.
Yeah, I know how that goes, yeah.
The government. Oh, my God. Oh my God.
We won't get into that discussion. We won't talk about it.
No, we won't even talk about it.
That's a whole different program.
But they make it all sound so easy, and then it's like, no, it isn't.
No. I want to just touch upon it. For those who didn't hear your first podcast, you years ago decided that health insurance and the premiums were so exorbitant that you started making your own health insurance fund, and rather than pay for health insurance, you put away like $500 a month, right?
Yes, that's how I started.
And then
grew that account, used it for the first cancer, and then I didn't have insurance for this cancer. So once again, I used it for this cancer, and then I did have to get insurance starting at the first of the year.
When you went on disability, did that automatically give you the coverage for the insurance?
Oh, God, no. No. Everybody thinks when you go on disability, you get Medicare, but you don't. I have to wait 2 years on disability before I get Medicare.
Well, what about your age, too? How old are you?
Right now, I just turned 63.
63, okay. I'll be 64, okay.
Yeah.
If Medicare, you can start getting, what, 65, 66 normally?
If I were 65, I could have gotten it immediately, or... You go on disability even if you're 28, and after 2 years, you're eligible.
Okay. Tell us about, I think the beginning of April, you had I'm not sure exactly what the term was, it was Celebration of Life? get together, party?
Yes, we did. And that was produced and done by a former student of mine who, you know, she really wanted to do this. And what had happened, I had another incident after I got back from Mexico. Everything was going along well. And then I was doing all the treatments. And then I had an incident where my left lung whited out. They call it a white out on the left lung. Once again, they did not know why the lung did that. They put me in the hospital once again, drained me of like 5,400 milliliters of fluid in total. And then all of a sudden, magically, the whole thing stopped. As mysteriously as it had started. And the student was very concerned. She'd been following me, and she got very concerned when I went in the hospital for this mysterious lung ailment, which they still don't know really what that was.
When you say and student, Alexander Tech, student or a vocal student, vocal coach?
No, this was a student. This was a former student. And she said, you should really do this because people want to help. And you don't know what more, you know, costs or things are going to come up. So they want to do a celebration. I said, I don't want to make it sound like I'm just trying to get money. So she said, okay, we'll do a celebration of life.
Yeah.
And then nobody has to give unless they feel, you know, like they want to.
Yeah.
So we did it. And it was hosted by Colin Quinn, the comedian.
Right.
And it was fantastic. I mean, just, I mean, it was, I told even them at the event, it was like being George Bailey in It's a Wonderful Life. I got to see all these wonderful things that I had done throughout my life. So it was like kind of a living memorial service.
Oh, that's, like, yeah, you're walking around your own way.
Yeah. Yeah.
And for those who don't know, Colin Quinn was a, you met him as he came to you as a vocal, when you were a vocal coach, right? Is that right?
Yes, he was my student for many years. Yeah.
Yeah. When you say student, that's what that student was. You vocally taught her.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly.
Gotcha. Okay.
Yeah. And both of them, I also taught Alexander Technique as well, because the two are very tied, the vocal. As a matter of fact, Alexander, who invented it, he created it because he kept losing his voice.
Oh.
So it's very tied to vocal, breathing, et cetera, et cetera.
So the how many people attended your big your party, your get-together?
We had almost 200 people there.
Wow.
And that's all we could really manage. We were about six people didn't show up. Out of the 200.
Was it at a restaurant, a hotel? Where was it?
It was at the Comedy Cellar, a club in New York City in the Village.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow.
So it was, again, a wonder. It was wonderful. I mean, truly, to see that. And I thought, oh, my God, how many people get to see their memorial service?
Right.
And then they pop up at the end and talk, you know.
Yeah, that's
really what it felt like. So I was, it was just a real, real high.
Yeah, yeah.
And I didn't realize how much people really loved helping and participating in this because they feel I've helped them so much and I've done so much with, you know, my podcast and everything's been for free. And so they really wanted to give back.
Yeah.
And it was beautiful.
Yeah, yeah. People want to give. They innately want to give. But the whole thing reminds me of, Neil Donald Walsh?
Yes, yes, very well.
Conversation with God?
Yes.
One of his questions that he asked God was, how do you word it? He said, I wrote it down here somewhere. What does it take to make my life work? And God's answer was, your life has nothing to do with you. It's all about the lives of the people you touch and how you touch them.
Here you go. That's
a beautiful answer. You were able to see that on Earth.
Exactly. And then I thought, wow, I really could die right now and it would be okay.
Okay.
Because it was just like a beautiful, it was almost like an ending, you know? But
yeah.
I'm wondering also, is that the end of that life? I don't know what will happen with the teaching. I don't know where my life is going to go. I mean, I don't even know if I'll be alive in 6 months. I mean, everything is really up in the air. I haven't been cleared. I haven't been cleared of anything.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Now, was your family there at the celebration?
My sister and my twin brother both showed up with their one of their children. My sister has my niece, and then my brother had two children, but the niece showed up. So,
nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
And then my cousin and her family came. So it was really quite lovely. Quite lovely.
I forget, is your brother an identical twin?
No, he's fraternal.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh.
So it was quite a celebration. And again, how many people get to do it? You know? How
yeah.
many people get to do it? So lovely.
You've said too that your brain is just different. Since
yes, it is.
The way, can you elaborate on that? Like how is it different?
Okay, I don't think in the same ways, or thoughts don't happen the same way they did. And it feels more like most of what comes to me is from feeling, and not so much in the head thought. And when I do think in the head, it's about things that are not as, I'll say small. That the thoughts come as bigger realities. And I'm pretty sure that was caused by the extreme swelling. It's still not, hasn't changed. And I feel everything more intuitively, which I always would, it's intuitive, but
yeah.
Now it's just like a way of being. And my brain, like if I'm doing something or an activity, it's like it completely can thought kind of, I don't want to say it stops, but it's of no consequence. Whereas thoughts had more consequence before this. So I'm really kind of amazed. I'm really kind of amazed by the whole thing. And I still don't know where that's going to go. I
yeah.
sleep magnificently well.
Do you?
yeah. Yeah. Like,
are your dreams different?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Although really? I have a very, very difficult time remembering them where I didn't have that before. Now I have a much more difficult time remembering.
Have you heard of Michael Sandler? You know that name?
Oh, yes. Yes.
Yeah, he's marvelous, isn't he?
Yeah.
He started, you know, watching a lot of his YouTubes and videos. And he's actually, I guess, the number one watched spiritual person on YouTube right now.
Oh, wow. But I didn't know that.
He's really... He's an amazing guy. But he had a guest on. I don't remember her name. Really nice, nice, wonderful woman who's kind of like an expert with dreams. Blonde
okay.
hair. Didn't happen to see it, did you?
No, I didn't.
And she helped me thinking my own dreams because she's talked a lot about dreams. It was a great show. But
mm-hmm.
she's talking about how dreams. I feel very frustrated in them, and I just you can't get there. People don't hear you, or you know, it's so often frustration. And she said, "There's too often that we run for those. Those dreams are there to help us, and we run from those, and we try to stuff them down. But try to embrace them and to work through the journey of it of what they're trying to teach you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I'm still doing that quite a bit, but it." It had me look at those a lot differently than instead of waking up in the morning going, oh, shoot, I have one of those again. You know, walking down the street and I had no pants on and I couldn't figure out why, you know.
Uh-huh.
I didn't leave the house with no pants on, you know.
Right.
You know, and That's why I started thinking about your dreams. But you're saying you don't remember them as well.
Not as I did before. Not as I did. I can remember a few of them, but I've really got to work at it. Again, and maybe that's part of the whole thought thing. Thoughts are not, they don't cling anymore. They don't have the same importance as they did. They just feel like they're just like kind of something floating through the air. They're not of any true importance. And when something important does occur, it doesn't really come through my mind or brain. It feels like it just comes from within me, and I go, oh, I have to do that. Again, it feels more intuitive.
So you don't fix it on any of them. You don't have to grab onto them and hold onto them. You just kind of float through and they're gone. So that,
exactly.
The obsessive thoughts you often have, worries, aren't there for you.
Yeah. And I really don't have worries. I mean, that's the other thing. Even when I, you know, would get all the bad news, because, you know, again, what I've learned is the medical here is always filled with bad news. Always. They make everything into more of a drama or a crisis. And I would just kind of go, okay. And we'll see what happens, you know.
Like you talked about when you were in the hospital and when you first went there and everything else, the second time, all the chaos around you and everybody going,
oh, my God, it was horrible.
You were.
Yeah, it was horrible.
But you're able not to get delve into that world rhythm.
Exactly. You know, and not to get sucked in.
Them, right? Which annoyed them. Which annoyed them that you weren't all upset, too, with them.
Well, no. Yes, exactly. Because, again, you know, even when they gave me the diagnosis and told me I was going to die, I kind of looked at them and I said, thank you so much. And they looked at me and they said, you do realize what we're saying. And I said, yeah. I have stage 4 metastatic renal cell carcinoma, and I'm going to die in 6 to 12 months. Isn't that what you said?
this guy's cracking. Get the straight jack.
Exactly. You know, and I will say, I do have to watch out for that. Because, you know, people, it shocks them too much. And
right.
And even with the doctors, you know, they're like, oh, my God. And they do, you know, feel that it's unusual. Because usually, and now I'm seeing a lot of people in doctor's offices, they're complaining. They look like hell. They have no ability. And me, I look totally fine. You know, and then they examine and they go, oh, my God, you're in very bad shape. And I said, yeah, I know.
Well, it sounds like, remember Anina Morjani's story about, you know, after she had the NDE, the near-death experience, and she came back and knew she's not going to die now, even though she weighed like 75, 80 pounds.
Right.
And the doctors would say to her, you know, we can't find the cancer. We'll find it. We can't find it.
Exactly. We'll find it. As a matter of fact, I had a similar thing happen when that lung whited out. They kept draining, 5,400 milliliters. I mean, that's a lot of fluid. And they had it examined to see if it was an infection, was it cancer, what is it? And then they came back and I said, so what about the fluid? Nobody's telling me. And they said, well, we didn't find anything in the fluid. I said, oh, so does that mean that, you know, there's nothing going on there? No, it's got to be cancer. We just can't find it.
Right.
But it's got to be cancer.
Gary, that doesn't all the textbooks. Please don't say that.
Don't say that. You know, Rick, and that's it. They're programmed to follow the book.
It would dismiss all our training and show that we don't know anything. So
exactly. And they can't really admit that.
Right? Even though it's your body.
Even though it's my body, right. And I thought, wow, isn't that something?
Right.
So got to be cancer, even though they couldn't find it, has to be cancer. Yeah. And you know, because I've been diagnosed with stage 4. So, of course, they just assume that there's cancer, even though they can't find it. So it's like, okay, whatever. And I don't argue. I never argue with the doctors. I just go, okay. I repeated it, though. I said, so there's no cancer in the fluid, but it has to be cancer. He said, yeah, that's right. I said, okay.
Okay. Okay. Doesn't make a lot of sense, but okay. All right.
It doesn't make a lot of sense, but that's okay, because I just want to make sure that's what you're saying, you know. So it's kind of funny, and again, keeping the sense of humor is, you know, one of the ways to really overcome this, because laughter is probably the best medicine. What was that one guy who did the, he laughed the whole time. He wrote a book about it. Got rid of pancreatic cancer. I don't remember his name. Yeah, but it was from many years ago. And, there you have it. It's the best medicine.
Yeah, oh, definitely. Definitely.
Yep.
Oh, any part of, thank you for your time here today. And I've been told in the past to keep my podcast a little short. I haven't done one in a while, but you know, people have don't have a lot of time in their hands. So.
Absolutely.
I so appreciate you talking to us again, because I just wanted to let more people hear your way of living, your way of thinking, your whole way.
Yes.
It's contagious.
And it's helped a lot of people. And my biggest message in closing is you just cannot believe what you see, and that includes on the news.
Yep.
And I'm going the whole world here. You can't believe it all 100% because you don't know if what the agenda is. And whatever they tell you may not be what happens.
Right. So, and what is real? Everything is so temporary anyway. What is so real anyway that we get planted in this world?
I really do believe... I am kind of hitting another dimensional reality. I really do.
Well, I do definitely.
Yeah, because my things work miraculously beautifully with someone with stage 4 cancer. Here I am, and it's fantastic. Absolutely fantastic.
I have a chiropractor that I visit on occasion. I haven't seen her in a while, but she's wonderful.
Uh-huh.
She says, you know, really, life, it's just a movie. You're playing a role down here, and it's pretty funny. You just play that role and that character, and don't take it too seriously.
Right. I agree with her 100%.
You know? Yeah. So it's, you know, and then this is the role you play, and you can change the role or whatever. You're not, you know.
Exactly. You're not
what role you want to play? Do I want to play a victim? Do I want to play a hero?
Yes.
Hero's journey.
Absolutely.
I said I was going to end it up here, but I want to. What do you think about reincarnation? What are your thoughts on that?
You know, it's kind of like we just got through Easter and the resurrection.
Yep.
We are continuous. There's no true death. There's the illusion of death in this physical body, but I don't believe there's death. And of course, then energy gets recycled. Just like, you know, like a wood, you know, burns and becomes, smoke that goes up into the sky and then gets reutilized in the world. I really believe the same with us. How it all happens and how it specifically happens, you know, I don't know. That I don't know, but I do believe nothing is created or destroyed. It's just recycled.
I want to thank you for talking to us again, and
it's my pleasure.
This is your third time, so maybe we can talk again sometime. I'd like that.
Oh, absolutely, because I'd love to keep telling people about the journey.
Yeah,
and as I say, it's better than the other one, because the other one, after 6 weeks, I was cured. This one, you know, 6 months and I'm still on the ledge. Yeah.
Do you think you'll write another book?
I'm putting it together, but I don't know. I mean, this one, there's so much to talk about. I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm not sure how I will do it. I'm not sure. Maybe it'll be a couple of books. I don't know.
Well, you know when the time comes, if it's right to write one or not.
Exactly.
Not right now. It's not the time to do it. So you'll know if it's
I'll know exactly.
Your book is happening anyway, whether it's in print form. It's happening for all of us to see and experience and go through it with you.
Correct. And my podcast is documented, you know, so.
Yeah.
So there we have it.
One last question before you go.
Sure.
You have a different feeling of oneness than you did before?
Yes. Yes. I really feel closer to the spiritual world than I have ever felt.
I think
that was also because of the brain.
How about even earth, trees, plants, sand, ocean?
All of it. All of it. I see it all in one. It's all filled with energy and life. It's all spiritual.
Yeah.
Nothing is dead. Even dead people are not actually dead in the way. It's just that they're no longer manifesting the body in a particular way. So I see it all in a very different way than I did, even after the first cancer.
Yeah.
And that I'm going to keep exploring, you know.
But
I even feel like things talk to me. They give me information all the time.
Information. What form do you receive them? How do you receive them?
Usually intuitively, usually just by a knowingness. It's almost like, what do they call it? Extrasensory, where it just comes. There's no thinking involved.
Right.
There's no desire involved. It just comes.
Yeah. There's no angel like in A Wonderful Life, guys, sitting down talking to you.
Exactly.
Yeah,
although
Joe,
I do love that image.
What was his name? I'm trying to remember the angel's name.
Clarence.
Clarence, right.
Clarence. Yeah.
Yeah, Gladys is good.
Yeah.
So, all right, thanks again, Gary. Listen, I'll talk to you soon again.
All right, Rick, thank you once again.
You bet. See you, Gary.
Bye-bye.
And much thanks to all of you for tuning in today. My hope is if your dreams are lingering in your back pocket, you're perhaps a little bit closer to taking them out and being the wonderful you is. Yes, I is, you is. Drawing near to being totally we are. Stay well. Stay kind. Relax, it will be mine. Bye for now.